We read 2 Timothy chapter 3 this evening. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. We read thus far the divinely inspired and infallible Word of God. The text for the sermon tonight is verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy had a godly upbringing. Timothy must be thankful for this godly upbringing, as undoubtedly he was. There are many reasons to be thankful for a godly upbringing. And one of them is a recognition of the fact that not everyone has a godly upbringing. Timothy would come to know that by way of experience as the pastor in Ephesus. Many Gentiles would be brought into the church as new converts, and they never went to a Christian school. They never had Sunday school. They never had catechism. The Bible was never read in their homes. There's a calling for those people, and there are some in the church today who never had a godly upbringing. There's a calling for them, and the calling is, continue in those things which you have learned since coming to the faith. Timothy and all of us, I should say most of us, ought to be very thankful because we have had a godly upbringing. We have been nurtured in the Word from our earliest years. And there's a calling for us too in the passage tonight, a calling for Timothy and for us, and that is continue in those things which you have learned since you were a child. That is an encouraging calling, a very encouraging calling, that we are to continue in those things which we have learned since we were children. That's reason for praise and thanksgiving to God. Because if we have that calling, that means we were instructed in the truth as children. And that's a manifestation of the covenant faithfulness of God to us and to Timothy. Reason for thanks. And therefore it is with great gratitude that we take up the calling to continue in those things we have learned since we were children. That's the word of God that comes to us tonight in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. We take as the theme of the text, continuing in what we learned as children. Let's notice first the meaning. What does that mean? Second, the reason why we are to do this. And then third, the calling we have in light of that Word of God. Continuing in what we learned as children. Timothy had been taught something as a child. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew, according to verse 14, things. And verse 15, the Scriptures. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures. When the text refers to the Holy Scriptures, very obviously it is referring to the Old Testament. For the New Testament canon had not yet been completed. The Bible for Timothy was the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament Scriptures. We know both Old and New Testament Scripture. What exactly the Holy Scriptures are will be described in greater detail, Lord willing, next week when we consider verses 16 and 17. But note now that the Holy Scriptures are the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. That's true even in the Old Testament. God revealed Himself through Christ, although Christ had not come yet. God revealed Himself through Christ by way of type and shadow that pointed ahead to Jesus Christ. Timothy knew those Scriptures. And he knew them well because he did have the Spirit of Pentecost. We have the Spirit of Pentecost and the entirety of the completed canon, the Holy Scriptures. Verse 15 uses that adjective, holy, or it could be translated sacred, the holy or sacred Scriptures. The Scriptures are holy because they are the very Word of God. The Word of man is not holy. The writings of man are not holy or sacred. Even though the adherents of some false religions may teach that the particular writings that they have are holy, they are not holy. And though there may be some society established for the preservation of great literary works of the past, and they may view those literary works as sacred, they are not sacred. Only the Scriptures are holy and sacred because they are the very Word of God. God speaks in the Bible. And oftentimes, on the very cover of your Bible, it will say, as mine does, Holy Bible. The Scriptures, according to verse 15, are holy. Now that indicates also the manner with which we ought to treat the scriptures. That is, with much respect and very carefully. The scriptures are not to be used as a prop to hold open the door, or as an object upon which a disinterested student may doodle. They're sacred. Scriptures are holy. And that ought to be reflected then in the way we do. And we do regard the scriptures as sacred. Timothy knew the holy or sacred scriptures. Going back to verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That means Timothy learned the things contained in the scriptures. The history, the doctrines, the facts, the texts. He probably memorized many texts out of the Old Testament, undoubtedly. He sang the Psalms out of the Old Testament. He knew the things of the scriptures. He knew God. That God was the creator of all things and the redeemer of his elect people. He knew Jesus Christ revealed in the scriptures, even in type and shadow in the Old Testament, as the one whose blood we must have for a covering to make us righteous before God. Timothy knew Israel, Old Testament Israel, as the covenant people of God and God's faithfulness to his covenant people. In light of all of the enemies and the oppositions that they faced, he knew the things of the Holy Scriptures. Not only that, Timothy had assurance, verse 15, rather verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. He learned, but that's one thing. He not only learned, he also was assured of what he learned. And that's something different. A student may go to college or some public university and learn all kinds of ideologies and philosophies and moralities and positions that various other people hold, philosophies. For example, a student may go to college and learn the philosophy of the Epicureans, who, by the way, existed during the day of Paul. Acts 17, Paul and Timothy was with him on the second missionary journey, went to the city of Athens, and there in Athens were the Epicureans and the Stoics. Still today, there is the philosophy of the Epicureans, also known by some as hedonism, namely the philosophy that the ultimate goal in life is your own personal happiness. And you do whatever makes you happy. If it feels good, do it. Now a student can go to college and learn that philosophy. He can learn about the founding father of that philosophy, Epicurus. The main tenets of that philosophy. All of the manifestations of that philosophy through history. But that does not mean he is assured of it. At least he had better not be. It's the doctrine of the devil. Timothy learned the Holy Scriptures and the things contained in the Holy Scriptures. But he was also assured of them. And that's an aspect of Timothy's saving faith and the saving faith that God gives to us too, to be assured of what we read in the Bible. That God is not only creator, but he is my creator. And Jesus Christ is not only Savior, but I believe with a true faith and am assured of the fact that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and his blood washes away my sins. And even when the Bible says Jonah was swallowed by a whale and the whole world scoffed, we not only learn that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, we are assured that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. We learn the Holy Scriptures, and with Timothy, we are assured of them. In this way, Timothy knew the Scriptures. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. we might not expect the verb known in light of the verbs used in verse 14. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And we would expect verse 15 to read, and that from a child thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures. But that's not the word the Holy Spirit uses. He uses the word known. We not only learn the Scriptures, but we know them with a personal, experiential, saving faith and the assurance of that faith. Timothy knew, as we know, the Holy Scriptures. Remarkably, Timothy knew them as a child. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Thus we can read verse 14 this way. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned as a child and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them as a child, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures as a child. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures as a child. He may have known some nursery rhymes. His mother may have taken out a brittle old papyrus and read to him a fictional story about three bears or a family of rabbits. To continue to speak anachronistically, Timothy may have had an acquaintance with the Disney characters of first century Ephesus. Although you have to wonder if he did. He may have. But this is the main point. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures as a child. The Scriptures. That is most important. The most important and instruction a child could receive. That's primary and necessary and essential and foundational. And all other instruction will be useful only if the child also receives instruction in the Holy Scriptures. There was a little boy in Ephesus. No, in Lystra. That's where Timothy grew up. There was a little boy in Lystra. His name was Timothy. And that little boy knew the Holy Scriptures. He knew them as a child. Now, that's not because little boy Timothy in Lystra had a natural gravitation toward the Scriptures. He was not unique. He was an ordinary child. And the ordinary child, when he has time, does not go and open up the Bible and read the Bible. The little child wants to play with toys or something else. It wasn't because Timothy was naturally inclined toward the Scriptures that he learned the Holy Scriptures. He knew the Holy Scriptures because he was taught. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught Timothy? Probably not his father. For Acts 16 verse 1 says of Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And that may be implying that his father was an unbeliever. Who taught Timothy? Mother Eunice, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Fathers and mothers teach. Grandmother Lois, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Grandfathers and grandmothers teach. Paul, especially Paul, the preacher who came to Lystra, he taught Timothy. And we have such teachers and many other teachers. And there was Moses and the prophets. As young Timothy was schooled in the Old Testament scriptures, Moses became his instructor, but ultimately his teacher was Jesus. And that's brought out in the text. In verse 14, the last phrase, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The pronoun whom is singular, and that's striking because Timothy undoubtedly had many teachers. And yet the text states, knowing of whom singular thou hast learned them. And that must be indicating that the primary teacher of young Timothy was Jesus. And that's the great wonder when we open up the sacred scriptures and read them to the children and instruct the children in the scriptures. Jesus becomes their teacher. This is the word of Jesus. And when we close the Bible and do not read the Bible to the children, then Jesus is no longer the teacher. Jesus teaches through an open Bible, and He teaches through the power of His Holy Spirit, and therefore He can penetrate right to the heart of a child, which we cannot do. And even at a young age, teacher Jesus, through the Spirit, who works by the Holy Scriptures, can give instruction to a child. Even in a worship service, a little child can receive something because the teacher is not a man, but Jesus through His Spirit. And that from a child, we with Timothy have known the Holy Scriptures in Sunday school. And that from a child we have known the Holy Scriptures in catechism. And that from a child we have known the Holy Scriptures in the worship service, in the home, at mealtime devotions, when the Bible is opened up and read and explained and there's opportunity for questions and answers between parent and child. Then the child can say, and that from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures. And through all of the various other ways that a child can be taught, we have known the Holy Scriptures since we were children. And when? The children of the covenant. Grow up and say, and that from a child we have not known the Holy Scriptures because they were not opened up to us. God's judgment comes upon parents in their neglect of the covenantal calling. Mother Eunice was faithful, and so was Grandmother Lois in their covenantal calling. They opened up the Scriptures. And the covenantal calling of the children is to listen. Children, listen and hear and receive the things that are brought out of the Holy Scriptures to you by teacher Jesus. Timothy knew. He was taught the sacred scriptures as a child, but we have not yet done justice to the word child. The most striking word in the text is indeed the word child, and that from a child. Do not suppose that when the text uses the word child, it is referring to a 3 or 4 or 5 year old. This particular word refers either to an unborn child in the womb or to an infant held in arms. Babe is the word the scriptures ordinarily use in the King James. For example, Luke 1 verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That was John the Baptist. He was still in the womb. And that same word, babe, is the word child in the text. Luke 2 verse 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That was Jesus, a little baby in the manger. The text could better be read, and that from a babe thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, I suppose one could explain that away, that from a babe, and say, well, a babe can't be instructed. So it must be emphasizing early years and the point at which a child then is able to receive instruction. But the Spirit deliberately uses the word babe And something must be done with that word, babe. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, can say, and that from a child, that is, babe, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, because that is a reflection of the atmosphere of the home in which Timothy was raised. The atmosphere. Timothy was a babe lying in a cradle in the corner of the room. A little babe. He was crying. He was sleeping. He was cooing as a babe. And yet he knew the Scriptures as a babe because the atmosphere of his home was one in which the sound of the Bible was heard through reading, speaking, singing, and living. In other words, the sound of the home in which Timothy was raised was not the sound of godless Ephesian music and television shows and fighting and bickering and animosity between other people in the home. But as a little babe lying in the cradle, he was raised in a home where the atmosphere was one of biblical sounds. So let's do a test. Let's go home and say for a week straight, let's monitor very carefully all of the sounds being emitted in our homes and listen to every single sound and say, is this a biblical sound? That's a good test for us. That was apparently the home in which Timothy grew up. And there were no excuses. The possibility of Timothy having a godless father may lead one to suppose that his mother Eunice had an excuse. The whole burden of responsibility was upon mother Eunice. And yet no excuses made. She was faithful to her calling. She raised her son according to the command of God. And she didn't need contemporary psychologists and scientists to tell her, you know that a little child in the womb or a little child in the cradle can be affected by the sounds that it hears already as an infant. She didn't need to be scared into raising her child in a godly home. She was godly. That was her home. Mother Eunice. She had in her CD player the psalms, the hymns, the songs of Zion that filled the atmosphere of the home in which little baby Timothy was lying in his cradle. There was godly speaking between whoever was in the home. Even if the husband was godless, there was not fighting and strife. But there was an attitude of kindness and love, and that permeated the home. And there must have been the reading of the Scriptures aloud, so that the Bible can say of Timothy, and that from a babe thou hast known and been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures. Mother Eunice, her home was exemplary. And may that be an encouragement to all of us to pattern our homes that way. Homes that emit a biblical sound. Timothy knew, because Timothy was taught the things of the Holy Scriptures from his youth. He must continue in this. He's now a grown man. He's the pastor in Ephesus. He had the childhood rearing in the Scriptures. But now the Word of God that comes to him through the Apostle Paul is continue, abide, remain, grow, stay strong in and develop in all of that instruction you have received. Continue in what you learned as a child. Why? There are two reasons. Number one, because according to verse 15, these Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Reason number one to continue in the Scriptures we learned as a child, they're able to make us wise unto salvation. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. The application of knowledge to your life in a beneficial way, in a way that benefits you, and that means ultimately in a way that gives God the glory. Wisdom is taking knowledge and applying it to a life that gives glory to God, ultimately. Noah was wise. He had some knowledge. He knew how to build this massive boat called an ark. And he built that as a knowledgeable man in a wise way. It was for his good, the salvation of his family, and ultimately for the glory of God. A man may be a genius, and in his backyard he builds himself a nuclear-powered submarine because he has so much knowledge. But if he doesn't use that nuclear-powered submarine to benefit his life in some way, he's a fool. He has a lot of knowledge, but he's not wise. And ultimately, if he doesn't use that nuclear-powered submarine for the glory of God, then he's a fool. All kinds of knowledge, but that's not yet wisdom. Wisdom is having the knowledge and then applying it to life in a beneficial way and for the glory of God. One does not merely get wisdom. According to the text in verse 15, the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise. If someone is wise, it is because they have been made wise, according to the text. The power whereby one is made wise is indicated in the text. That there must be a power is also indicated by the word able, literally, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are powerful to make thee wise. There must be a power, and it's not other people, even Solomon himself. And it's not other books and self-help manuals and wisdom for dummies and this for dummies and that for dummies. It is something else. But there must be a power to make someone wise, and the power is the Holy Scriptures. Verse 15, the Holy Scriptures are powerful to make thee wise, to make thee wise. We need wisdom for career planning, for financial decisions, for practical concerns in life, as authority figures, office bearers, parents, teachers, we need wisdom. Civil magistrates need wisdom. The Holy Scriptures are able to make one wise unto these practical concerns of life, but more importantly, according to the text, they are able to make one wise unto salvation. Unto salvation, that's because the Holy Scriptures give us the knowledge that we need. Proper knowledge of God. Who is God? Jesus. Who is Jesus? You as a man, who are you? Who are you really? This world in which we live, what is this world? The Scriptures give us the right knowledge. Only the Bible will tell you, and only the Bible will tell you that God is holy and righteous and He hates sin and demands that His justice be satisfied. Only the Bible will tell you that salvation is exclusively to be found in the blood and merited righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only the Bible will tell you that you are by nature an unworthy, guilty, miserable, wretched sinner. No one else and no other book will tell you that. But the Bible will. The Bible gives us the right knowledge of all things, of all reality. The Bible is powerful to make us knowledgeable. It gives us the right knowledge. But more importantly than that, the Bible is powerful and able to make thee wise unto salvation. It gives us the right knowledge we need to apply to our life. That's wisdom. To apply to our life so that we can live a God-glorifying life. It lays before us now the way in which we must walk, a wise way, a narrow way, an antithetical way, a way of obedience and submission to God, a way of gratitude and praise to God, a way sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures give us the knowledge, and they are the power to make us wise to apply that knowledge unto a right life that aims at the glory of God and is our salvation. The Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And then, of course, when the Scriptures make us wise unto salvation, they also then give us wisdom for all of the practical concerns of life, career planning and financial decisions, and what do we say here and there, and all of the other decisions of life. Wisdom for everything, because they give us wisdom for the greater salvation. They give us wisdom for the lesser and those things that are subservient to our salvation. The Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That must be added, as it is by the inspired apostle, through faith. You see, anyone can read the Bible. Anyone. You just open the book and you start reading. Judas Iscariot could open up a papyrus of the Old Testament Scriptures and start reading. Anyone can read the Bible. But then what explains the fact that some people open up the Bible and read it and they live a foolish life of unbelief? There must be faith. There must be faith. The Scriptures are the power to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is, as we have emphasized in connection with Lord's Day 8 and Lord's Day 7, which preceded it, faith merited through the cross of Jesus Christ as a gift of our salvation, faith given by Jesus Christ. There must be that faith, and faith which is in Jesus, a faith in Jesus, so that someone reads the Bible and discerns that this is the very Word of Jesus and the revelation of God in Jesus. Jesus is speaking. Faith in Jesus. You see, plenty of people can read the Bible, but they don't perceive Jesus. Not really. They can read the Bible, they can memorize it, they can sing it, they can debate it, they can get in heated arguments about the Bible and the doctrines contained therein, but they live a foolish life. It's because they don't see Jesus and the need for Jesus and the glory of God in Jesus. The Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Timothy had that faith. And so do we, as a gift of God. Timothy was a wise man, wise unto salvation there as the pastor in Ephesus, because he had been trained in the Scriptures. But not merely that he had been trained in the Scriptures and knew the Scriptures, but because God gave him faith, the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. And God gives that gift to us too, so that we believe and know the Scriptures. Continue in what you learned as children. Why? Because those Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. That first. And the second reason is found in the but with which verse 14 begins. The second reason to continue in the Holy Scriptures is because deceivers are waxing worse and worse. Verse 13, which we considered last time, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. These deceivers will abandon the Scriptures ultimately. Timothy, you continue in the Scriptures. And here's a powerful reason for that admonition. continuing in the scriptures is the antidote to the plague of deception in the Christian church. That's the second reason. Last week we noticed this reality of deception, and we explained that Jesus Christ will faithfully preserve his elect. But we said little more. This text explains exactly how Jesus will preserve his elect in the face of deception, by their thorough knowledge of and assurance of the sacred scriptures, which they have known ordinarily from their youth. Now, deceivers are waxing worse and worse. At the same time, there must be a progression in the scriptures. Deceivers in the last perilous days, waxing worse and worse and worse and worse. And according to verse 14 and 15, at the exact same time, the believers in the church must be continuing and continuing and continuing stronger and stronger in the scriptures. That's the antidote to deception in the last perilous days. The devil is the great deceiver, and he will use deception. He uses the ungodly with whom we have contact, even mere contact of necessity in the world. He uses the ungodly in subtle ways to try to convince us, especially the youth, that sin is good. In some way, sin is good and pleasurable. The devil uses the news media and the television and the internet in all kinds of ways to try to deceive us into thinking that the life of the Epicureans is a good life. And you do what makes you happy. Isn't that what the television teaches us? You do what makes you happy. Couched in subtle language. Deception. The devil uses the deception of professors in colleges and universities subtly and craftily to sow the seeds of doubt among the youth. But ultimately, the devil uses false teachers in the church and their deception, their teaching couched in the language of the scriptures and the creeds. Ecumenicity, unity, but at the expense of truth. Deception regarding the creation of the world, which we have mentioned in the past, and deception with regard to the last days and the days prior to the return of Christ and what we must expect. Deception concerning Jesus as Savior and his death. For whom? The covenant. And the condition, but a condition which God fulfills so that it's all of grace. And it sounds wonderfully well in Orthodox. It's still all of grace. Deception in the churches. Justification by a faith that works, because if your faith doesn't work, it's dead. That's the latest deceptive teaching of the Federal Vision. Justification by faithfulness. That is a faith that works. Because if your faith doesn't work, it's dead. And then you have no faith at all. Justification by a faith that works. The antidote to that deception is the scriptures. Continuing in the scriptures we have learned from our youth. Knowing the scriptures. For example, the young people and young people's society studying carefully the book of Romans. That's the antidote to the deception today concerning the Federal Vision. Justification by a faith that works. All of the young people quickly and decisively ought to be able to take that error of justification by a faith that works and turn it on its head once and for all as the pernicious lie that it is. Romans 4. But we have to know the scriptures. We've been taught the scriptures and now continue in the scriptures. And that's the antidote to deception in the last days. And then remember that the great deception is still coming with the Antichrist and his stupendous, fascinating miracles and lying wonders. And many will fall for his lying wonders because a long time before that, they discontinued in the scriptures. Those who will not fall for the lying wonders of the Antichrist are those who have continued in the scriptures, which are able to make one wise unto salvation, and who give them him the ability to see the deception for what it is. Continue. That's the calling tonight. Now, continue. The primary calling of the passage is not this. Parents, keep teaching your children the Bible. That's a different passage. The primary calling of the passage tonight is not, children, keep receiving the instruction of your parents. That's a different passage. The primary calling of the passage tonight is continue. And it assumes that children have received biblical instruction in the Holy Scriptures. And now the calling comes in particular to young people and to young adults and to all those beyond who have received the Scriptures. Now the imperative in the Word of God is continue. Continue. And that's an imperative directed toward us because it's always our natural inclination to discontinue. And so the Word of God comes with a powerful imperative in verse 14, Timothy. But continue, continue in that which you have learned as a child. Now we learn so much in this blessed God-given covenantal community. We do. The little children, it's astounding what they learn. All these Bible stories and these texts and they're memorizing verses and they're singing psalms they committed to memory and they go to Sunday school and memorize some more and they go to catechism and memorize some more and then in the Christian school they're memorizing and learning and learning as little children in elementary age. And then they go on to junior high and they're learning and memorizing in high school and they're learning and memorizing all of the things of the Holy Scripture and they continue on through their formal education and catechism and maybe then get to the end of formal instruction in the pre and post confession class in catechism after having all of this instruction in the Holy Scriptures. Then what? He's 18 years old. She's 20 years old. She learned and learned and learned and was taught and taught and taught. And he knew and knew and knew and had the most rigorous, thorough biblical instruction of anyone on the face of the earth. And now gets to that age, 18 to 20, maybe a little beyond, and all the formal instructions in the past. And now what? The Word of God says, continue. Continue in the things you learned as a child. Continue. And it could happen that there's a 20-year-old man in the church who has a thorough instruction. He's 20. And another man comes from the outside as a new convert. He's 20. They're both 20. The one who had grown up in the church knows and knows and knows so much. But this new convert is so excited and zealous. And he's reading and reading and reading and soaking up everything he can find. And they both turn 25 5 years later. And at the age 25, the new convert now knows more than the one who had been brought up in the church because he didn't continue. 5 years he wasted. And squandered. The Word of God comes tonight and says, you've been taught as a child. Now continue in that which you have learned as a child. Continue. So then we need to make opportunities to go to Bible studies. To have structured, disciplined, personal devotions as young adults every single day to continue in the Scriptures. Maybe there's opportunities for other smaller Bible studies with some friends. There are opportunities in literature. I see on the back table now something for the Beacon Lights. We have the Beacon Lights. There's the Standard Bearer. All of these RFPA publications that keep coming in, and all these books, and are they on the shelf? The Word of God says continue. That is, open up and read and study. And we memorize so much. Maybe there's opportunity yet for us as adults, at the age Timothy was at, maybe in his 30s, to keep memorizing. Maybe that's a good idea, to memorize one little passage every week. Somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, continue in that which you have learned as a child, even as a babe. When someone goes astray and they begin to live a life that is not God-glorifying, and their personal spiritual life begins to deteriorate and things begin to slip, and maybe that's obvious publicly, or maybe, as often the case it is, it's some personal, private, besetting sin. They're slipping and slipping. There are many reasons for that. One of the reasons is that they have not continued in the things they have learned. See, the Holy Scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation. And if someone is slipping in their spiritual life, they're slipping down a path of folly toward destruction. And that means they're not continuing in the Scriptures, because the Scriptures make one wise unto salvation. So the Word of God tonight is continue. Continue. What a sad thing if Timothy and others like him have such a solid, thorough, rigorous, biblical instruction in the Holy Scriptures, and when they get old, they apostatize and forsake it all. Oh, that's disheartening. And that's real for some of us to see that. All this instruction, and they come of a certain age and leave it all behind. They didn't continue. The Word of God is to all of us, continue. Now, there's this hope for someone in the church who apostatizes after having that incredibly rigorous biblical instruction. It's still there. It's still there. And God just might use all of that instruction one day to prick them and to prod them back in the right direction. They know. They've learned. They sung those psalms as a little child. And though now they reject it and live in folly and unbelief, they don't forget. And God might use that, and may that be His will, to use that to bring them back. And then they continue in the Scriptures. Continue. Beginnings are good. Beginnings are not good enough. Beginnings are good. When a little babe lies in the cradle, in the atmosphere of biblical sounds, that's good. And when the babe gets out of the cradle and grows up and has all of this instruction that can be provided, that's good. Beginnings are good for Timothy and for us. But they are not good enough all by themselves. You can imagine a horse trainer talking to his horse. They do that. And perhaps anyone close to an animal, they talk to their animal, and you can hear a horse trainer talking to the mare. Ah, that was a great race. And you came right out of the gate, and you were first, a nose ahead of them all, galloping out of the chute. And coming around the last turn, they were all behind you, and the crowd was roaring, and you were in first place. But you faltered. Ah, you faltered. You had a good beginning. But that's not what counts. You never crossed the finish line. This is the concern of the Apostle Paul as he sits in prison, ready to be martyred for his faith. His beloved spiritual son is over there in Ephesus. Paul knows Timothy had all the instruction. He had a good beginning, but that's not good enough. There must be the continuing in the things we have learned all the way until the end by the grace of God. Continue. We must not believe the creeds today and tomorrow. Throw away the creeds, as some do. Believe the cardinal doctrines of the faith and even the beloved heritage handed down to us by our fathers. Today, believe it, and tomorrow say, I don't need it. We must not say all wisdom is to be found in the Bible and then tomorrow listen to a deceiver and say, but there's something here. The Word of God is, continue. Continue in what you have learned as children. And here we are in the last perilous days, and they are perilous. Immorality abounds, and apostasy worsening. More and more people had a good beginning, and off they go. And some are going to Rome, and some are going to the cults, and some are going to the world of pleasure, and some are going to further apostate Christian churches. There is apostasy in these last perilous days. And there's the coming day of the great tribulation, of persecution for the church and all these enemies of the truth. And now in these last perilous days, Jesus Christ preserves us as we continue in the Scriptures. We have it. You have it. The Word of God tonight is continue. May God see to it that we do. He will. He did for Timothy. And He will for us. Give us the faith to believe in Jesus and His Holy Scriptures. God will see to it that we do continue. Now, continue in that which you have learned as a child. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for Thy goodness to the church, goodness that manifests itself in so many ways. The fact that we have these Scriptures before us is Thy goodness. Able to read them, able to study, able to give instruction in them, and yet, sadly, we must confess we all too often neglect the sacred Scriptures. Lord God, stir us up tonight to continue in that which we have learned. We are confident Thou wilt be faithful to us despite our unfaithfulness. Be faithful for Christ's sake. Amen.